Amen. Certainly, we are grateful that the Lord is listening and that He hears everything we say, and He answers every prayer that His children secretly pray. We are mandated to pray without ceasing. All of us should strive to practice prayer perpetually because of the power and the efficacy of prayer. The children of Israel in our lesson this morning requested of Samuel that he cease not to pray for them. That should also be our concern, that we cease not to pray for each other. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Brother Arthur Davis read for us verses 11 through 20. Based on this passage of Scripture, we'd like to talk to you this evening about choices, using as the specific title of our lesson, "The Choice is Yours." One of the most noticeable and notable distinguishing differences between man and ordinary animals, beasts of the field, is the ability that we have to consider, to examine, to deliberate, and to make choices. Our power to choose, our power to decide for ourselves what course of life we are to follow. We have the power to determine what our future will be. God, making us in His own image, has enabled us to even determine for ourselves our final and eternal destinies. I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. Your parents can't choose for you, and they can't choose for each other. Each individual has to make life's vital choices for himself or for herself. As this grand old book is drawing to a close, the appeal of the covenant was a strong call, a call to love and to obey the Lord. Moses now turned away from predictions and prophecy and focused upon the audience before him. As he faced them, he knew that they desperately needed to rededicate their lives to the Lord. They had a dire need to renew their covenant, their commitment to the Lord. With a strong sense of appropriate urgency burning within his heart, he challenged the people to love and obey the Lord. As he challenged them, he emphasizes, first of all, the closeness of God's commands. The commandments of God are not in some distant, inaccessible place. They are not up in heaven, still unrevealed and hidden in the heart of God. The commandments are not beyond the sea, in a foreign and distant land. They are not up in heaven, still unrevealed. Not beyond the sea. The word of God is near us. It has been revealed by God so that we can obey it. It is right at our fingertips, easily accessible. Notice verses 11 through 13. Now this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Isn't it wonderful to have within your possession a Bible which contains the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God? Most of us have at least one Bible. Some of us have numerous Bibles. Some of us have four or five or six different Bibles. I doubt if there's a home in America that does not have a Bible. Bibles are easy to come by, signifying the closeness of the commandments of God. Any hotel room in the United States of America has a Bible placed there by the Gideons. So the Word of God, the commands of God, they are close to us. God has demonstrated his love to us in a most wonderful way. He has not left us in the dark, groping, grasping, and stumbling about, seeking the answers to life on our own. No, God has revealed his holy word to us, telling us how to live life, how to find God, how to have the assurance of living forever. The word of God is near, very near, right, immediately accessible to us. Are you thankful for the word of God? Are you thankful that it is so accessible, that it is so close? It is not in heaven that we should say, who shall go up to heaven for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. The problem is not having access to the word or not possessing the ability to understand the word or to comprehend the requirements imposed upon us by the word. The problem is oftentimes an unwillingness to adhere to and to obey the word. None of us has any excuse, has any reason for being lost, because we have ready access to the word. Of course, now just having access to the word is not going to do us a whole lot of good. We must utilize the word, and we must submit to its divinely imposed requirements. The closeness of the word. But we also focus on the choice from the word. Notice verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Choices are vitally significant. Choices are very critical because they have eternal consequences. Every morning that we get up to face the rising sun and to go about our usual schedule activities, we are confronted with innumerable choices from the very first. Some choices that we make on a daily basis are not really that critical, not life or death decisions. But other choices that we make are vitally significant and have very dire, serious consequences. So we need to choose carefully which things to do and which things to refrain from doing. All of a sudden, with passion burning in his soul, Moses called upon the people to make a decision, a choice between life and death, a choice between good and evil. Moses spelled out exactly what he meant by the call of the covenant. The call was threefold, basically and primarily, as we see set forth in verse number 16, to love the Lord, to walk in his ways, to obey his commandments. Notice what he says in verse 16, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. That shouldn't be real difficult to do. That should be something that we want to do, something that we want to do in reciprocating the love that God has and continues to demonstrate toward us. We love him because he first loved us. And God has endowed us with the ability, with the capacity to return his love, to love him in response to the love he has demonstrated and continues to demonstrate toward us. Love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments. That's not asking too much for our Creator and for our benefactor, for the one who sustains our lives. Love the Lord, walk in his ways, obey his commandments. The closeness of the word, the choice from the word. But we need to also focus on the consequences from the word. The decision to love and obey the Lord will result in the most wonderful life. A person will live a full and fruitful life and be wonderfully blessed in the promised land. And I know this speaks specifically to Israel and the promise that God made them, but the principle is the same for us. By making good choices, by making godly choices and decisions, we can be enabled to live the very best possible life there is. And this is something we need to emphasize and something that we need to impress upon the minds of our young people, that choices have serious consequences. Notice verse number 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The thing that's significant about our capacity to choose, especially that ability and capacity as exemplified in and demonstrated by parents, is the fact that our choices don't just affect us. Our choices also affect others with whom we are closely related, especially those who are our children and other close relatives. So when I'm making decisions, making choices, I need to think about the consequences that I will face as well as the consequences that will be faced by others. The call to us is direct and forceful. We must love and obey the law. We who live today are without defense, totally without excuse. For God has not only given us the written word, but he's also given us the living word, the divine logos. The written word is the Bible revealed and vouchsafed for us in the pages of the Bible. That's the written word that we are blessed to have close by and immediately accessible at any time. But he's also blessed us with the living word, that is Christ, with the divine logos. Jesus Christ is the living word, the greatest witness to the truth that could ever be conceived by the mind of man. Yes, God did a marvelous thing in giving us the written word of God, but God did a more marvelous thing by giving us the living word of God. Jesus Christ actually lived out the written word of God. He obeyed every commandment in the Holy Scripture, and by obeying, showed us how to obey God. By living upon this earth, Jesus Christ showed us how to live life in a most meaningful and significant way. But not only this, being the perfect man, obeying all the commandments of God and being sinless, Jesus became the ideal man. As the ideal man, he was able to bear all of our sins and pay the penalty of our condemnation. He was able to take the judgment that was due us, take it and bear it for us. As the living word of God, Jesus Christ is a wonderful gift to all mankind. Remember the words of John in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, even as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And remember the message of verse number 17 of John chapter 1, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And remember John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Because of living in this day and in this time, we of all people are without excuse. If a people were ever confronted with a decision that desperately needed to be made, it is we who live today. We must make the decision to love and obey the Lord, that we might live the most purposeful, meaningful life that is possible. And this is practical. We reap tremendous benefits from choosing to love and obey the Lord in this life as well as in the life to come. John chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that you may abide, that he may abide with you forever. John chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and the Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John chapter 16 and verse number 27, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. The choice is yours. And we are afforded the privilege when it becomes necessary to choose again, to choose to live for the Lord. Joshua, after Moses had left this earth, challenged the people in his farewell address in Joshua chapter 24, starting with verse number 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've made that decision. I have made that choice. You have to make the decision for yourself and for your families. But we've already made ours. Don't ever underestimate or negate the power of choice. And remember, as we close, every righteous choice you make will be challenged by the devil himself. Because in reiterating what we indicated this morning, the devil is determined to undermine, to sabotage your relationship with God in order to ensure your eternal destruction. He will do everything he can to keep you from going to heaven, to keep you from experiencing life and good. He wants you to experience evil and death. It goes back to what we stated this morning in class from Matthew chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. rather verses 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The choice is yours. Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide in the choice for good or evil, the good or the evil side. To every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decides the way his soul shall go. The high soul treads the highway, and the low soul gropes the low, and in between on the misty flats the rest drift to and fro. But to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decides the way his soul shall go. The choice is yours. If you're here and you've not chosen to live for Christ, why not do it this evening? If you've not chosen to obey the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and arose again triumphantly from the grave on the third day, why not decide tonight? There's no need to put it off. There's no need to delay. There's no need to procrastinate. Believe the good news of the gospel with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thine heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. Will you make the good confession tonight? Sweetest confession known to man, sweetest confession made on mortal tongue, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're willing to make that confession, then be willing to submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins, culminating your obedience to the gospel of Christ, making your decision, making your choice to live for him, choosing thereby good and life rather than evil and death. If you're here and you're already a child of God but have fallen by the wayside and need to be restored, need to rededicate your life, you can do that this evening as well through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you're here in need of responding to the Lord's invitational call, we urge you to come right now as we together stand.
To Jesus for the cleansing, or are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusted in his grace to desire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?